All right. Okay. Okay. Heavenly Places, page 212, and it's titled Influence of Godly Parents, and it's for July 24th, which just happens to be today. Isn't that neat? Starts off in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Man, isn't that what we were just talking about? Yeah. I just, you know, the Holy Spirit is just amazing sometimes, you know. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. I mean, it's not just the physical apparitions of, well, not the physical apparition, but the, that's a lower word for demonic manifestation. When I talk about, you know, like the physical movements of our Father's hand, everything from the butterfly wing to the mountain, we could have so many evidences of his hand. We can see his word coming off the page and literally going into our hearts. And if we don't keep our soul diligently, like the word says, take heed lest ye fall. And they don't, it's going to be just like what we were talking about a minute ago. Some people that you never expect. I mean, Sister White does go into detail in regards to how in the last days, right? But, and we saw it happen 3 or 4 years ago. Some bright lights went out in this church. You know, little did we know that the lights had already gone out a decade prior. And so what was actually happening was a reiteration of sermons that were written a decade prior. But none of us knew that because the man sharing those particular sermons wrote them a decade prior. And truth is just like that. You know, it could stay forever. One of the rough things about this ministry, though, all my sermons and studies are on the website, so I can't repeat. But that's where I also praise God. I can't come up with a sermon every week, although I did that for many, 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 many years, because of him. I can't do it. It's him doing it. But I love how, you know, some of the brothers are stepping up and they're preaching. And it gives me a break every now and then so I can hear a preacher too. But when you step away, the Lord's going to step away too. And so, as we saw in that one particular case, the sermons are going to have to be repeated from years ago. And theology is going to have to be more or less based on memory. You know, but still, pray for your brothers and your sisters that are wandering to the edge of the path or literally have fallen off and just hanging on by white knuckle grips. Pray for them, lest, you know, they burn. Anyway, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And now, before reading this, I don't know if she's going to touch on this, but you could be a water-walking Christian, raising-the-dead Christian. You could be a Christian that sees the Lord's hand. You could literally be in flight before the eyes of man in a way that glorifies Christ and not yourself. And have kids, and they could just be bad seeds. So don't blame yourself, even if you did the best you could to raise your children. Some children just ain't going to want to hear. I remember years and years and years ago and when I started going to that one church that I had the opportunity to start doing pulpit preaching, even though I never had any doctorates or went in any kind of seminaries, because this preacher was all about not doing that. Even though he's a Sunday keeper, it was just odd that he had an open pulpit on Sunday nights. Yeah, I was a Sunday keeper at one time. And I never forget what his son said one day, because his dad taught him the scriptures. His dad taught his sister the scriptures too. She stayed pretty good in it. She stayed pretty strong, as good as you can get in a Sunday keeping background. I'm still praying for them, and so hopefully one day they'll be as they should be. Because I did see a Sabbath keeper sitting at the back of that church twice to try to help them see. One of them was named Ernie. The other guy was David. He eventually left. Ernie, he just died about 10 years ago. They both were SDA, and I never even knew that. They would attend that church. But his son, you would think his son, even his adopted son too, same thing. That kid was raised up, but that kid, it was a little bit of a rough raising there. A little bit too much discipline in, you know, the browbeating kind of a way. But what his son said is just what's going to happen with some people. Because when he became 21, he stepped out of the house and became a drunk. Started slamming the brewskis every chance he got. Started smoking. And when asked, why did you do that? I mean, seriously, your dad's a preacher. Your dad's a pastor. And you were never raised that way. He taught you from the cradle. This is wrong, that's wrong, that's right, whatever. To the best of his ability, I mean, you know, you can only go as far as you can go. This is what commandment number 5 is about. You're supposed to honor your parents. Your dad teaches you Christ. Run with that and get more information about Christ. That's why I left the Catholic Church. I honor my parents. They taught me about Christ in the Catholic Church. Well, they told me he existed. They don't teach much about Christ in the Catholic Church. It's mostly about Mary. But anyway, when I asked the question, why'd you do it? He said, well, my dad never drank. My dad never smoked. I wanted to see what it was like. I said, what? I mean, that was his excuse. He wanted to see what it was like. Why? Seriously, why would you want to see what it's like? I mean, the term with the scripture, take heed lest you fall, didn't even come into play in that person's mind. And you can't force it. It's like I've always said, you can bring an atheist to Christ or to the scriptures, but you can't make them think. Like, you know, like bringing the horse to water, but can't make them drink. Some people just, no, going to do it their way. They're going to do it their way, and that's it, man. Deal with it. And that always has concerned me for, you know, our children in the church family. Some of our children are literally going to be weeds, and there's nothing we can do about it. Do the best you can. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and children are a blessing from on high. What does it say in the scriptures? I think it's in Proverbs about a heritage unto the Lord, the children. Whenever you have a baby, that's a heritage unto the Lord. Yeah, amen to that, Nancy. I mean, look at it's just like with some of the things that we see in, because a lot of people like to blame themselves. Oh, I should have done this. Because I do that. You know, because I know in my early years, especially as my early years when I left the Catholic Church, I was very papal in my approach towards the kids. And so a lot of the kids may have decided to go in. I mean, they're good kids to some extent. They're not like some of the kids out there. I mean, they're nothing like I was. I mean, I praise God for that they're nowhere near like I was. And so they're at least honoring me in that respect, because before I was a Christian, I'm not going to go into that, but some of you know partially about my testimony, and I praise God I'm alive. Let's just put it that way. And so I'm concerned for some of the kids. But the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, we know. And so keep praying. That's all you can do. And hope and pray that, even if it means they have to have one of those shake them up to wake them up situations. Because we've seen that happen many times too. But anyway, she goes on to say that to all parents who profess... Oh, yeah, the point I was going to make. That's right. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. you can't blame yourself. Adam and Eve most assuredly did all they could to explain to Cain and Abel how they messed up. And they had perfect wisdom. Well, to some extent. I would think there was some kind of a pinch of removal there because of what went down. But Cain still killed Abel. Or look at Eli's sons. Well, okay, it's obvious. Eli was a slacker. He didn't want to rock the boat. He wasn't the least bit strict. Oh, I love my kids. Give them the candy bar. That's the way that the world is today. You know, I want to keep my kid happy. If he wants to gnaw on that pig knuckle that's pickled, he wants to gnaw on it, and I'm going to give him what he wants. Then by the time the kid gets to be 30 or 40 years old, he's got all this disease in his body. Mom and dad can't figure out why. So that's kind of like what Eli was. He didn't want to rock the boat. He didn't want to upset. He wanted to keep the calm thing going. Well, it wasn't very calm when his kids took the Ark of the Covenant, right? Especially when he found out about it. It was taken captive, and then he fell backwards and broke his neck. But the other toss of the coin is Samuel. A prophet, raised as a prophet, since the time of weaning, because his mother dedicated him unto the Lord. She says, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him unto you. And as soon as she got that kid off milk, right into the church he went, right, you know, to be a prophet of the Lord. So from a very early age, he had kids. They didn't turn out too good. So bad, in fact, that because of them, because they were next in line to be judges, because of them, Israel demanded a king. They didn't want to have men judging them. They wanted a king. They didn't want God involved because they knew that these judges were going to be evil because they didn't have any faith. But these guys were bad news anyway. So don't blame yourself, Mom and Dad. You did the best you could. Keep praying, though. Going on. To all parents who profess to believe in the soon return of Christ, there is given a solemn work of preparation, that they and their children may be ready to meet the Lord at his coming. God desires to see parents take their position wholeheartedly for him, that there may be no perverting of the work he has given them to do, that our children and youth may understand clearly the will of God concerning them. You know, yeah, I read the Bible when I was a young Christian, and I understood this to some extent. But still, like I said, I was very papal in my approach. And had I had Ellen White's writings, yeah, maybe I would have gone in a different direction after I left the Catholic Church and would have found a little bit more truth a little quicker. But I had to go through the school of hard knocks just like anybody else. And so there were certain lessons that I had to learn, just like my wife had to learn. And my kids, our kids had to learn in regards to, I mean, seriously, the Lord could have very easily, as a matter of fact, he tried twice, now that I think about it, to get me to read Ellen White's writings before I became a Sabbath keeper. The first time I recall, I don't remember the second time, I think it was around by Pastor Russ, but the first time I was in this one restaurant in Oak Lawn, one of those very seedy, old-fashioned, kind of like something you'd see in a mafia neighborhood, greasy spoon kind of a place, and you got the women in there with the 50s hairdo. I was like, I don't know, 20. I wasn't even a Christian. And some guy handed me a book. Told me to read it. And I looked at the book and I go, dude, there's no covers on this book. I didn't know he handed me The Great Controversy because he ripped the cover off, and the front and back cover off. He didn't want me to know it was written by Ellen White. I never read it. I just tossed it somewhere. Years later, it happened again. Somebody else handed me that book. No covers on it again. I was now preaching the street, of course, but handed me again. Never bothered. And then years later in Fire Talk, somebody sends me all this information, you know, this DVD about Ellen White. So it was obvious the Lord wanted me to get in there and read that, but he also knew it would take a little time for me to get to that point. I wanted to study the scriptures. I wanted to, it's just like when I was a kid, I wanted to know what was like, what the world was like before I was born. And what better way to find that out than to go into the Bible? I'll be able to find out what happened 6,000 years ago. So, she goes on to say that they are to learn to resist evil and choose righteousness, to turn from sin and become the faithful servants of God, prepared to give him life, or give him their life's highest service. Today's world, that's a rarity to see parents do that, but praise God they're out there. They're out there. She says, there are few parents who realize how important it is to give their children the influence of godly example. Yet this is far more potent than precept. I mean, the hands-on thing she's saying, I mean, anybody can read it. Hands-on is, you know, pretty powerful. She says, no other means is so effective in training them in right lines. The children and youth must have a true copy in right doing if they succeed in overcoming sin and perfecting a Christian character. And this is why I praise God the way Fran and I came into the truth. It was almost at the perfect timing. Even though our oldest kids, I think the oldest, I believe was 15, then you had 13, 12, 11, skipped a few years, and then went down from there. But they were still at such an age where they would listen to Mom and Dad, because I was always, even before I was a Christian, I was a street preacher early on in their lives. It was 31 years ago, so, yeah, okay, so they were more or less raised Catholic until I think the oldest was 5 or 6, I can't remember exactly, I'd have to go and do the math, but it was a little bit rough because of my papal upbringing, if you will, because a Roman Catholic household is where I came from, and you did things a certain way, and I thought they were correct to do. Even though I left the Catholic Church because I knew it was wrong there, I still did certain things in my own home, because that's how I was raised. And slowly but surely, the Lord chipped away at that. And so there wasn't a lot of... I do believe, though, that my strictness and my wife's strictness, even though we weren't so strict that I would nail the kid to the wall with a stapler. I mean, I wasn't a jerk. I didn't beat my kids senseless. I mean, I knew the Bible says, beat your kids and they shall not die, because you know you're going to hold back because you love that kid, right? I did a lot of yelling. Lost my voice even before I got kicked in the throat because I did a lot of yelling. And so I still look and I see how my dad's approach was towards me. And he was kind of like an Eli kind of guy. And I said, you know, the prophet Eli, or yeah, the priest Eli. I'm not slamming our brother here in the room, Eli here. But, well, you all know. And so my dad was laid back in a lot of ways. I mean, he'd get all up in your grill when I was a kid, you know, and he'd get up in my face and slap me around a little bit here and there. The belt would come out a lot. And I used the belt when I was a young dad, too. And, I mean, the dreaded noise, that, you know, the belt coming out of the loops. Uh-oh, you'll head for the hills. But it didn't work. I mean, I loved my dad because he was my favorite dad. You know, and I wanted to be like him. Now I look in the mirror, I look just like him. But I wanted to be like him. And so that's what got me. He was extremely devout Roman Catholic. The genuflecting, every holy day of obligation, every Ash Wednesday, the dusty cross on the forehead. I mean, St. Blaise Day, the two lit candles by the throat. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, even when you lost something, you hear about St. Anthony. I mean, it was just crazy how much Catholicism was in our house. I mean, he didn't have a shrine like I did, but he went, you know, he was, and that affected me. It made me from a young age understand there is a God. And like commandment number 5 says, without even trying, somebody who loves God is going to obey him and they're going to honor their parents. We ran with it. We went a little further with it. And so I believe that's why our kids didn't go into the bars like I did, and didn't start hanging out with the bikers like I did, and didn't, you know, all the weirdos and stuff that I knew, and they didn't do some of the things that I did. And weren't in and out of it. Well, I think one of my kids is, visited the Gray Bar Motel once or twice, I think. It was like every weekend for me almost sometimes. It was just a night over kind of a thing every now and then. But then I did have a few times where I looked at some heavy time I was looking at. I was in and out of the courts all the time. And so I praise God that my kids didn't get to there. And so I'm hoping and praying that just by looking at the way they are, that there's a strong possibility they might, you know, the ones that aren't walking the way they should, they might turn around and they got a better chance than most because they're not so wrapped up in sin like some of the guys I hung with. And most of the guys I hung with are either dead or in prison. I kid you not, because it was a nutty life. It was the 70s. I mean, I grew up in the 70s with the tough love. And then, of course, you put the bikers in the mix and it was a mess. And the only reason I met the bikers is because, you know, the neighborhood. They just happen to be there. And you make friends with the people in the neighborhood, you know. So she goes on to say that this copy they should find in the lives of their parents. And so when you're a real Christian, I have a tendency to believe that it's going to be a lot easier for your kids. I don't think if I was just getting married now. A friend of mine, I've even mentioned this a couple of times in passing, just when I don't think we would have babies today. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I'm fearful about the line in the streets and stuff like that. I trust my God. But I think I'd be very careful and really have to concentrate and think about whether or not I want to have a baby in today's world, you know. But still, I don't want to take away from that opportunity for somebody to make it into heaven. You know, granted, that person may just end up on some other planet somewhere that never met Christ. Or understood the things that we do, but we'll get a chance to meet them later. You know, and yes, the Apostle Paul does talk about the other worlds that God created. A lot of people don't realize that, but a lot of people don't read Bibles. The prophet Amos He wasn't kidding in chapter 8. It's happening now. So anyway, if they enter the city of God, someone must show them the way. By living before the children godly, consistent lives, parents may make the work before them clear and plain. It is God's desire that parents should be to their children the embodiment of the principles laid down in His Word. To keep the feet of their children in the narrow path will call for faithful effort and constant prayer, but it is possible to train the children and youth to love and serve God. It is possible to inculcate the principles of righteousness, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until the desires and inclinations of the heart are in harmony with the mind and will of God. And I think the only way you're going to get there is when they come to the age of understanding, you know, the age of 20 and on. Or even before that, some kids mature pretty quick, but when they come to a realization where it suddenly makes sense to them, like that one day 30-some-odd years ago, you know, even before I left the Catholic Church, I went out into the woods, because I love walking in the woods. You know, and talking to God ever since I was a kid. And I'm out there going, do I really believe this stuff? I mean, I was like 23 or 4 or 5. I was only married a few years, and I went out into the woods one day. I kid you not. I just sat down. And that's when I think that's the day I realized, if you sit still for a while, because I sat there for a while just thinking and praying and stuff, and the animals will come out from all over the place if you don't move. If you don't move a muscle and you're in the woods, give it 15, 20 minutes. It's pretty amazing, especially when the leaf kind of moves a little bit and a newt comes out. I thought that was neat. I grabbed him. But anyway, I believe she's getting to this point here is sooner or later you're going to sit down and read, you know, because that's what I was doing that day. Says, okay, my dad believes it. My mom believes it. All the priests that come over every now and then act like they believe it, even though they get... And that's the thing that I always thought was odd after I became a Christian, because... And I was so happy I left the Catholic Church, because I started to realize, I looked back, because hindsight's always 20/20. I looked back and I can remember some of the times these priests would come over and visit, and these guys had some of the most foul jokes, blasphemous jokes, and they would get blind staggering drunk right there in my house with my dad. You know, he'd have some priests come over and visit once in a while. It wasn't every weekend or nothing like that, but they would come over. And I think, and we found out later, it had to do because he had 11 kids. Some of those priests were just checking out they were doing some window shopping, I think. I never got touched by any of them, but I did find out about 20 years ago, one of my brothers did. And that's why he is the way he is today, I believe. A little bit of an agnostic/atheistic mindset. But finishing up, she says, when fathers and mothers realize the responsibility resting upon them and respond to the appeals of God's Spirit in behalf of this neglected work, there will be seen in the homes of the people transformations that will cause the angels to rejoice. And that's why the government invented school. I remember reading about this when I was a teenager. That's right. I'm in the library. Mom has to pick up her 9 books for the week. She was an avid reader of novels. Where she packed all that stuff in her brain is beyond me, but I would have to sit there 45 minutes to 2 hours in the library just waiting on her, because she didn't know how to drive a car or a bike. So I was elected. I would take her. And then I read about how the first time the government came up with the idea of schools, because if you control the youth and teach them what you want to teach the youth, you can change society in as quick as 5 years. But we're talking about working with kids that are already in high school. They had to get to the point, so it's going to take 20 years right off. Because the kids are going to have to go at least get to the point where they're going to graduate by the age of 17, and they can start voting at 18 and on. So they were looking at least 20 years before seeing any kind of benefit to their efforts. But nowadays, yeah, they could change society in every 5 years. 5 years ago, they started pushing homosexuality in the schools in a big, big way. I mean, they were doing it for 10 years. I remember, that's why we pulled the kids out of the schools about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. No, I take that back. 21 years ago, right before we started keeping Sabbath, we pulled the kids out of the schools, because in Oak Lawn, which is a suburb of Chicago, like Chicago Lawn, right next, I mean, it's borders that... they sent our kids home with a flyer saying, if you don't want your kids to attend school on this particular day, you don't have to, because in the seminar, it's going to be required. If any kid's in school, he's going to have to sit in the seminar and listen to talks from teachers and people that are going to be speaking, why it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies. That was the last time our kids ever went to school. So even then, we homeschooled them. We just, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They turned out all right. But I remember reading about in the cowboy days how some women were screaming at the top of their lungs, tears running down their face, and the babies are screaming and yelling, they don't want to go, because they were forcing the kids to go to school. And today, they got it down to a science. I mean, they're even selling and designing products for teenagers. That never used to be. In our day, it was always, you look at anything on the store shelves that had to do with the adults. Once in a while, you might see some toys. Yeah, you had toys. But now they literally have products that you can, I mean, they design cell phones, like the iPad and stuff like, and the iPhone and stuff like that. It's designed to be enticing to the young. So, anyway, hope and pray you're blessed. I'll be back in a minute.